You're listening to All the Best. I'm Samantha Groth. You're tuned in to All the Best, bringing you engaging audio narratives from emerging Australian storytellers every week. All the Best is proudly sponsored by Bank Australia. Join the bank with clean money. Is the money in your bank doing harm or good? Bank Australia says their money is clean because they guarantee their customers' money will not be loaned to industries that do harm. Industries like coal, weapons, gambling, tobacco, and the live animal export trade. Instead, Bank Australia's customers' money is invested in projects that create positive impact, such as community renewable energy, disability housing, and safe and sustainable housing for people at risk of homelessness and domestic violence. Is your bank aligned with your values? If not, learn more. Search Bank Australia Clean Money. Bank Australia is a proud sponsor of FBI Radio. The nights are starting to get a little colder, and while we still aren't getting time off for Valentine's Day, I did some research, and apparently Australians spend up to $500 million on the day alone, which kind of shows that we'll pay anything for a connection. On this episode of All the Best, we're looking at where the search for a connection can take us, starting with a swipe.
What should I wear?
Dress? Heels?
No, screw that. I'm just gonna wear jeans because we're going to main in the uni and that sort of thing is just not me.
Alright.
Can you see my location on your phone?
Let me check. Yeah, I can see your location now.
Okay.
Have you set your emergency number?
Yeah, I've done that.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Yeah, you will be fine, girl.
How would you describe me?
You are?
Insightful.
Always have some awesome ideas.
Pessimistic?
Brave.
Wise beyond your years.
Open-minded.
Funny and cynical.
Insecure?
Very talkative with close friends.
Easygoing.
Below average social energy.
Sometimes you go crazy.
You need to be more confident.
Resilient.
Curious about new things.
Control freak.
Always laugh at my jokes.
You always push your limits.
I'm Hong Nanguo. My life philosophy is fake until make it. I have social anxiety, especially in the context of romantic relationships. My psychologist suggests that I confront my fear and anxiety by trying to meet more men. He said, "Have you tried dating apps before?" So I signed up for Tinder and got a match. His name is Sam. I recorded our conversation the second time we went on a date.
Do you feel nervous like me when you meet out your date?
Always. I think it's, meeting someone online for the first time is kind of weird because you've only sort of seen them, what they've wanted to show to you. So like in terms of maybe their pictures and their interests as well. So meeting them in real life is a lot different. Actually hearing their voice adds a whole new element to it. So yeah, I'm also the sort of person that gets nervous in social interactions. Definitely get nervous.
Have you met anyone interesting using dating apps?
Well, I mean, yes, I've met you, obviously. But I think more broadly, I guess, sort of, it's been really useful while traveling. So particularly when I was in Spain, I met a lot of people in Madrid and Valencia that were really helpful in guiding me around the city and giving me some good attractions to go and see. I think largely they were the probably most interesting people I've met.
Why do you think I'm interesting?
I think maybe just meeting someone from a new culture as well for me is really interesting. But also, like, obviously that's sort of first impressional sort of stuff. But as I've sort of spoken to you over the last week or so, you enjoy the same sort of things I do. So like TV shows and stuff like that, music. So even across cultures, like we still hold these same sort of fundamental interests. So yeah, I guess that's why.
I guess he thinks I'm interesting because I'm talkative and always joking around. I apply my life philosophy, fake it until make it, very well. I can talk to people for hours, pretending I'm enjoying myself. Yet at the same time, my social energy can be only 3 out of 10. When I'm with Sam, I'm still faking it. I feel awkward every time there's silence. So I smile, keep talking, even though I feel emotionally exhausted. But I'm glad that he felt nervous as well. After all, it's not easy to find a kindred spirit, and he didn't freak out when I bought a recorder on our date. After several dates, I desperately wanted to find out if dating apps leads to genuine connections, especially for people like me. I find that talking to people online and going out to dates takes up too much energy. I didn't feel like I can keep doing that. So I went to see Dr. Na Liu in School of Information Technology of the University of Sydney. I asked her how Tinder chooses the people who show up in my feed. Her answer was quite creepy.
Technologies those applications is using is trying to build up the digital profile for a user based on the user's interaction with the application or their activities online. You're able to reconstruct some characteristics that would be able to describe the user. So that can be used as the foundation to provide the matching and other algorithm to improve the quality of the application.
So that means the dating app really knows my preference on my date?
This is based on what we call big data. So they actually based on the general average preference. It's not just your individual preference. So there are some assumptions, for example, according to the age, according to your education level, you may have different level or different types of preference. So this is not just about you. So it's about many, many similar use. So they assume that those similar use, you will have similar preference.
What's the impact of dating app to people with social anxiety or people with mental health issue?
I think for a dating application, at least some of the features that are common to those online social network tools, like anonymity, the users, to a certain extent, they can cover their identity or they can do something that we call impression management. So this is, I guess, is something that can help the user to pretend or become the one that they want and also reduce this anxiety in direct connection with other people. They can just maybe send a message. Then it's actually reduce the barrier for them to get to know other people.
It reminds me of a show called Black Mirror on Netflix. In an episode called Hand the DJ, two people, Frank and Amy, has been matched together by an algorithm known as the system. Frank and Amy in real life look just like Frank and Amy in the system. And then the surprise comes when we realize that they have never met in real life and they are just one piece of a long chain of algorithms. See? Technology, statistic, and algorithm really knows who we are. Big data can be a digital version of ourselves, just like the case of Frank and Amy. It does increase the chance of matching, even finding the potential significant other. But I don't think dating apps works for me. Maybe it works for other people. So I asked my friend Al for dating advice. He's gay, an extrovert, and a true people person. I asked him whether he feels nervous when meeting his date. I'm always worried that my date is going to be a murderer or rapist.
I was kind of nervous and excited, you know, because I had to think about what I have to wear tomorrow and what I have to do to make myself better to date with that guy. It's a different kind of nervous from yours. You know, some of my pictures have been photoshopped, and some of the people say hi to me because they think my photos are really cool. But if I just show myself in reality, maybe they will think that, oh, this guy is quite different from the person in the photo. So I will feel nervous if they think, okay, you are just a fake person. So yeah, sometimes I will feel nervous, but I can handle it.
What are these guys like?
Most of the guys think once they have taken you to a very expensive restaurant and you will fall in love with him, I think it's quite strange because food is not the thing that can grab me. The personality is most important. But I think most of the guys, they just think the food can catch the moment and seize the opportunity.
Do you have a second thought when you meet up your date?
Definitely not. Even he doesn't match your expectation, you can have a chance to make new friends. And even I don't match their expectation, we can be good friends, right? You don't have to be hesitated to go to the date because I think it's a good thing. But sometimes you have to take care of yourself because you don't know those strangers on those dating apps, whether they are good guys or bad guys, yeah.
Al is right. Most of the time on dating apps, guys would ask me if I'm down to sex within 5 minutes of our conversation. Sometimes they just send me a dick pic right away. Even for people like Al, using a dating apps to find a person that is going to click with you is hard. My date Sam says nobody takes relationships on dating apps seriously.
If you enter into a relationship via Tinder, then maybe it's illegitimate, or I don't know, maybe it's something I've imagined, but I guess that's just my way of thinking about it.
And I think I'm not the only person who is faking it.
Like when you're on the app, sort of you only present the parts of yourself that you want others to see. It ends up being like a real life pissing contest or people trying to beat each other and everything. And yeah, I mean, when everyone focuses on the best parts of each other, I guess we never find out that everyone is just as insecure as we are and everyone is just as scared as we are.
Okay, I admit that dating apps are such a millennial way to meet people, but I don't see any problem with that. The next generation will probably use virtual reality or simulation to find their person. But the more I try dating apps, the lonelier I feel. I got 2,535 likes on Tinder. Around 2% of these guys have attractive profiles, so I got 57 matches. How many of these guys that I find attracted are going to board me? Most of them. I only had interesting conversation with 3 matches. How many of them are gonna find me interesting back? And there's things like chemistry, interest, whether you guys believe in the same thing, do you love at the same thing? What are the chances? But I do know that going on dating apps helps my anxiety around talking with guys. And there are always uncertainties when you are looking for the right partner, even with the help of dating apps. So, who knows?
That story was by Hong Nan Guo. A special thanks to Tina Matalov and Gretchen Miller for their production guidance and feedback. Additional production support by Allison Chan. All the Best exists because we want emerging Australian storytellers to learn how to make audio stories like the ones you're hearing today. You can pitch to us from any part of Australia and we'll pair you with one of our supervising producers for a squeeze of your own. Email contact@allthebestradio.com. In our next story, we address a shortage in Australia, a shortage of cuddles.
I'm on my way to the Cuddle Cottage in Thornbury. I'm on a wide suburban street with lots of white and pastel-coloured cottages with manicured front gardens, and I'm heading to meet Sarah. I've got my confirmation email with me. It says I should have sent my photo ID to Sarah as a safety measure, as well as my deposit. A session is $110 for an hour. And there's a reminder that this isn't a sexual service of any kind. And reading it, I'm starting to feel a bit nervous and wondering if this is what her clients feel like on their first time.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Welcome.
My name is Sarah Alexander, and I'm a certified cuddler with Cuddlist. I started in May 2017, I think, and I've been cuddling people in Melbourne since December 2017.
Sarah was previously a disability support worker and then a nanny to two girls, but now her job is to snuggle and spoon people. Cuddling is a big business in America, where Sarah originally grew up. When she was holidaying back in the States a few years ago, she decided to sign up to a cuddle website and give it a go.
I just decided to have a job where I could work for myself, but also help people at the same time. So I started a profile on there and I started seeing my first clients in America. And during that time, I was doing a lot of research and, you know, watching videos. And like when I saw my first client ever, it was the first time I'd ever been in a cuddling session as well. So I was both the expert and the student, if you will. So I remember when I was younger, my parents didn't really share very much affection, like public displays of affection to each other. So when I was growing up, I never, for example, remember a time where my parents, I saw them kiss. I just didn't remember any times that they were kissing or hugging. So I do feel like that affected me as a child because it was more difficult to, growing up, relate to how you express intimacy and affection as an adult.
So who are the people out there that aren't getting cuddles or physical affection?
People are not receiving what touch they need in their life because they might be working too much and too busy prioritizing work over their health and well-being. They may be in a relationship that is toxic or unhealthy or that is just not getting their needs met. They might be not in a partnership. They might be widowed, divorced, recently separated. They might be using a wheelchair or have some kind of disability or health or mental illness. I get a wide variety of people that come through. They can be anywhere from maybe in their 20s to in their 50s or 60s, mostly male, although I've had some female clients. I have had one couple. The couple wanted to work on some intimacy and touch needs.
Sarah says that for some, cuddling can be a type of therapy, a way for them to work through their trauma, addiction, or social anxiety.
So there was a client that I saw. He was one of my first clients, and I remember that we had so much fun together and that he was doing so many dramatic things to improve his quality of life. He had gone from a person that was highly addicted to alcohol to someone who was able to become completely sober. When he was trying to retrain his brain and choose better, more positive habits, he chose cuddling. And we had a lot of sessions over about maybe a 9-month period of time. And then one day I just got this message saying that, you know, thanks for everything you've done, but I won't need, you know, to see you for a cuddling service anymore.
When I meet Sarah, she offers me a 1-hour cuddling session. At the start of the session, we sit on the end of a double bed in a room that just looks like a normal bedroom, and she starts reading out the code of conduct.
Client and cuddle professional both verify that they are at least the legal age of consent in their location. Yes?
Yes.
Client and cuddle professional both agree to be free from any mind-altering substances during the sessions and are thereby fully able to give consent.
Yes.
Thank you. This is a strictly platonic service. Client and cuddle professional both agree not to pursue or encourage sexual arousal. Also, the minimum clothing of tank top and shorts to mid-thigh for both client and cuddle professional at all times. No hand to genital or breast contact. No intentional genital stimulation of any kind. No exchanging of saliva in any way. Yes?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, because sometimes people also wonder if there's if kissing is okay to do in a session. And I have been kissed in a session before and had to tell the person that I feel uncomfortable and that's not part of the agreements.
I later asked Sarah what happens if one of her clients do get excited in the middle of a session.
So what I've been noticing recently is that sometimes men especially are a little bit nervous about what happens if I feel sexually aroused during a cuddle session. There's nothing to be ashamed about if you feel an erection in a cuddle session, but if you start grinding or, you know, moving that energy around, that's when we need to refer to the agreements again and realize that that's not what's going to happen in a session.
Back in my cuddle session, and Sarah and I are flicking through a book called The Cuddle Sutra with pictures and descriptions of different cuddle positions.
What's kind of maybe an easy way into it type of position that you would say if someone came and said, I'm not really sure, maybe they're a bit nervous?
Honestly, we just sometimes just start holding hands. Sometimes I've done thumb wars with people.
1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war. And then
shake.
Bow. Fight. Oh, nice. You did great then.
Thanks. So if you want, I have like blankets and stuff too, if you feel more comfortable with it.
No, I'm probably pretty good.
You're okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alright.
So you can like any way you like.
Cool.
Do you need a pillow?
Yeah, let's have a pillow.
Okay, cool.
That sounds great.
Oh, thank you.
Fix me? No, you're right. Are you comfortable?
Yeah, I feel comfortable.
Going into my session, I felt pretty apprehensive about having someone in my personal space, but I was surprised by how I relaxed into it, and at the end, I felt pretty comfortable.
So I'm going to touch your forehead and stroke your hair. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, great.
During our session, Sarah always makes sure I verbalize exactly what I want and how I'm feeling. She says a cuddle session can be a great place for people to learn and understand consent.
We're talking about people learning how to receive somebody's no. We're talking about people being able to say where they feel uncomfortable and have that respected in the space. We're talking about not feeling judged if you don't want to continue with an activity. We're talking about being able to say, yes, I like that, more of that, please. So these are all phrases that are not very common these days.
As I'm getting ready to leave the cuddle cottage, I ask Sarah if she has a partner and how they feel about her career.
Shall we ask him if he wants to talk? I'll ask him.
My name's Justin. And I'm Sarah's partner, and I've just had a question sprung on me unexpectedly.
So when you started dating Sarah, were you already a cuddler?
I believe I was already a cuddler before we started dating.
Yeah, you were. Don't remember the night we met. You were talking about going to see a client or something at some point. So,
what did you think? What went through your head when she said that?
Well, I wasn't really sure what she meant by that because I didn't know that there was that transaction available. As we got to know each other, I was more aware of what that meant and
How do you feel about that as a profession now?
I think I'm unfinished in my assessment of that. It's been really curious to go on that journey with her. And I guess for me, you know, sometimes I think, okay, this is, you know, so weird, and it challenges a lot of social norms, and that's good. Sometimes it's difficult to have your partner with other people in that intimate space, and you know it, that takes a bit of checking into at the time.
Is it something you would ever consider doing?
I've actually done the training, and that has been partly as a curiosity and to get a better perspective of what she does, but it's also something that I feel like, okay, this is sometimes challenging for me, being in intimate space with non-intimate partners.
While Justin isn't sure if he will follow Sarah's footsteps and start seeing his own clients, Sarah hopes that the cuddle industry here in Australia will take off. She sees hugs being as widely available as a massage one day.
I'd like to see more businesses emerging for cuddling and caring cuddling services in Melbourne. And that's actually something I'd eventually want to do, to train people to become professional cuddlers and have a support network where they can go to get their questions answered and feel supported in this line of work.
So you kind of want to build a cuddle empire here in Melbourne?
Yeah, that's right.
That story was by Alison Worrell. Jordan Fennell was the supervising producer.
You've been tuned into All the Best, bringing you engaging audio narratives from emerging Australian storytellers every week. All the Best is proudly sponsored by Bank Australia. Join the bank with clean money. Is the money in your bank doing harm or good? Bank Australia says their money is clean because they guarantee their customers' money will not be loaned to industries that do harm. Industries like coal, weapons, gambling, tobacco, and the live animal export trade. Instead, Bank Australia's customers' money is invested in projects that create positive impact, such as community renewable energy, disability housing, and safe and sustainable housing for people at risk of homelessness and domestic violence. Is your bank aligned with your values? If not, learn more. Search Bank Australia Clean Money. Bank Australia is a proud sponsor of FBI Radio.
All the Best would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we make these stories and pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. All the Best is made at FBI Radio in Sydney in association with SYN and 3RRR in Melbourne. This episode was mixed and compiled by Will Ryan. Our executive producer is Alison Chan. Jordan Fennell is our Victorian State Coordinator. The All the Best Community Coordinator is Chloe Gillespie. Our SYN Community Coordinator is Erin Dick. Matilda Fay is our Social Media Producer. And I'm Samantha Groth, your host. Shining Bird composed our theme music, and Annie Hamilton designed the artwork. All the Best is heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network and is made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can find all of our other episodes at allthebestradio.com. And make sure you connect to us by subscribing to our podcast.